Last Sunday in chapter 5, I always like to give a little bit of an introduction of where we're coming from. We're again reminded by Paul the Apostle that by faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified. The term means vindicated in the original language. And I like to break it down. You've heard me say this many times. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's just if I'd never sinned. Because our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, deepest part of the sea, he remembers them no more. But it's our responsibility to confess our sin to the one who loves us and gave his life for us. And because of Christ's atoning death and burial and resurrection, we now have peace with God. Isn't that a blessing? In a world that's filled with turmoil, in a world that's coming to pieces, we have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And we now have access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And it's such a blessing, as I mentioned, I'm doing a celebration of life at noon, and it's such a blessing to do a service for someone that I know is in heaven right now. It's just amazing. You know, oftentimes I start the service off with, someone's going to come up to you and say, I'm sorry you have lost a loved one. But when you're a Christian, they're not lost. And I often say, no, they're not lost. I know exactly where they are. In heaven, with the Lord. And that's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. While we're here on earth, we can even glory in our trials, the Bible says, knowing that even in our trials produce perseverance. We can press on in this life. And perseverance produces character in us. And character produces hope. We talked about that last week. And hope does not disappoint. And that's another one of the many things we need to give thanks to God for, that we have hope in a world that is hopeless. We have a future and a hope because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God, Paul told us last week, is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's a blessing as well, isn't it? Every moment of every day, if we will stop and take time to recognize it, God's love is poured out upon our hearts. And so Paul closed chapter 5, encouraging us with these words, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And sin reigned in death, as sin reigned in death, grace now reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, over the past few weeks, I've mentioned many times, it's hard to even comprehend in these puny little minds that we have eternal life, that we are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. There's no clocks in heaven, no calendars in heaven. What's that going to be like? We can't even imagine. No more tears, no more grief, no more pain, no more sorrow in heaven forever and ever. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just scratching the surface of what awaits us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Paul also went on to say, as sin reigned in death, grace now reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we had four words last week that I opened with to encourage us in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Number one, salvation. We are saved. The very name of Jesus Christ in Hebrew means salvation. Yehoshua. Jehovah is salvation. And salvation only comes through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus, period. And when we receive that salvation, then the next word that we saw last week was sanctification. That means we're set apart to Him. Imagine that. Holy God, Almighty God would set you and I apart for Himself. He loves us that much. Sanctified. And then, of course, justified. Justified, never sinned. And one day, we will be glorified. And again, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? Glorification forever. moving into heaven, of that place that God has prepared for you and I. And what a glorious day that's going to be. Glorification. Death has been put away. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, all of the demands of God's holiness have been met. No balance due. And that's why I often remind people, when Jesus Christ said his last words on that cross, he said, "It is finished." Tetelestai. No balance due. Our slate is clean. And how sad it is that some of the denominations today think that you go to a holding place, purgatory, so they can get more money out of the flock. We need to pray and pay to get this person out of purgatory. I got news for you. My Bible tells me, and I'm going to share this today with these folks at this memorial service, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, just like that. No stopover. Praise God. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Your last breath on earth will precede your first breath in heaven. And what's that going to be like? And what we need to do oftentimes when we're sitting alone, when we shut the television set off, we need to sit and ponder some of these incredible things that God has given to you and I through his Son. Death has been put completely away. All of the demands of God have been met by Jesus. And we who believe now have eternal life. So then, with all that has been imparted to us through Jesus Christ, Paul now asks an extremely important question here in chapter 6, verse 1. And this is really an incredible question. Look what he says. "What shall we say then?" Paul writes. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" That's a good question, isn't it? Even today, there are those who think that they don't have to confess their sin. I'm good. It's all paid for. I can still live the way I choose. They think if God loves to forgive, why not give him more to forgive? What a joke. One of the many things I love about the new life in Christ is the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice I said person, not it. The person of the Holy Spirit is that alarm that we have right in our heart, that when we sin, when we blow it, we know right off the bat, because he leads us and guides us in all truth. He convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I don't know why or how people think that they can just go on and live in sin, you know, live like hell and go to heaven. I don't think so. Some think if forgiveness is guaranteed, don't we have the freedom to sin as much as we want to then? Wrong. Well, let's see what God's word says about this type of thinking. Look at verse 2. First two words, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Two words right off the bat. Paul says, certainly not. But so here in chapter 6, Paul is going to untie some knots. N-O-T-S. Knots. And that's what I love about God's word. He unties knots for us. Praise the Lord. He eliminates any doubt or any questions that we may have. The first knot is in verses 1 to 11. Because you are not united with Jesus Christ, you cannot continue in sin. The things that we used to find pleasure in. Conviction now. We feel dirty. Verses 12 to 14, another knot. You need not, because sin's dominion over you has been broken. Praise the Lord. Verses 15 to 19 this morning. You must not continue in sin, as sin would again become master over you. And how sad it is, oftentimes we see prodigals in the body of Christ. That's why God gave us the story of the prodigal son, who asked his father for all of his wealth and went out and just lived in the world. Ended up in the pig pen, and you know that Jews had no dealings with pigs. He was in the pig pen, and he was even eating pig pods and drinking Podweiser and eating pod roast and chicken pod pie. Yeah, I couldn't resist. Another knot. Verse 20 to 23 this morning. You better not. You may not continue in sin, as it would end up in disaster. And I have seen over the years, backslidden Christians lose their lives. And it's sad because it leaves brothers and sisters in Christ wondering, did they really go to heaven? And so we have to be very, very careful. You know, we shall not think that we can continue in sin that grace may abound. Certainly not. And before we look at the first knot in verses 1 to 11, we need to be reminded how serious this matter truly is. Number one, this attitude just shows that a person does not fully understand the seriousness of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Every sin. The wages of sin is death. How sad. The economy never affects the wages of sin. It's always death. Secondly, God's forgiveness does not make sin less serious. Thirdly, the death of his son shows us the dreadful seriousness of sin. And again, we can't truly grasp what Jesus Christ went through for you and for me on the cross at Calvary. He was marred more than any man. He was beaten beyond recognition. The lashes that they whipped him with on his back removed all of the skin and flesh so that his vital organs were exposed. And again, we can't even grasp what he went through. And sin is very, very serious, especially the price that he paid for it. Fourthly, Jesus paid for our forgiveness with his life so that we could have life and life more abundantly. The last point, we must not cheapen God's grace by licentiousness. Licentiousness, license. Thinking again that we can live like hell and still go to heaven. It doesn't work that way with God. That's why we have this chapter. I love this chapter. Last week after the service here on Sunday, I usually go home and read the next text, and I just got really excited of what God was speaking to me. And every time I share a message, I'm not just talking to you. It's coming back at me as well. And I'm so grateful for chapter 6 of Romans because it really, really speaks to my heart. So let's look at verses 1 to 11. Cannot, being united with Jesus Christ. Notice verse 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, look at this, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Again, no balance due. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so again, certainly not, he says. We cannot continue in sin because we are in Christ Jesus. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. And it's even closer than that. Through the person of the Holy Spirit, he lives within us. Verse 2 tells us we've died to sin. What this means is this is a positional truth. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our place. When he died, verse 3 tells us, we died. All of those who are in Christ are seen by God as dying to sin. In Paul's day, as well as today, and we still do it here, immersion is the usual form of baptism. We had to cancel our baptism for today because of the memorial service, but we're going to reschedule if you have not been baptized since you become a believer. A baptism does not save you. It's just a picture of what happened when we gave our lives to Christ. We went down into the watery grave. We died, the old man, and we came up in the newness of life, the resurrection. And so baptism is a picture of the death and the burial of the old man, the old nature, the old sinful person, and coming up out of the waters as a picture of the resurrection to new life in Jesus Christ. It's a glorious time. We always enjoyed baptizing new believers. And so Paul says here in verses 4 and 5, we were buried with Jesus through baptism unto death. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, so we also should walk in the newness of life. And again, if the old man is dead, then the new man should come forth. The Bible very clearly says he or she that is in Christ is a new creation. All of the old things have passed away. How much is all? And all things become new. That doesn't mean we don't sin, but when we do, again, the person of the Holy Spirit lets us know very clearly, and we confess our sin, and the Bible tells us he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verses 5 and 6, we're united in his death, and we also should be united in his resurrection. We went from being spiritually dead now to spiritually alive. And is there anything more incredible? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have no idea what's to follow. I had no clue. There was no earthquake, even though I lived on the San Andreas Fault. And there was no lightning bolt. And I got up and I thought, well, am I saved? Am I born again? Did Jesus forgive me? And then all of a sudden I realized things begin to change in my life radically. I had a new heart. God gave me a heart transplant according to Ezekiel 36:24. He takes out the old stony heart and he gives us a new soft heart. And one of the things that I began to recognize right away was a tender heart, and I would weep. And the second thing I did was ask my wife to forgive me for putting her through hell in our marriage for 7 years. You've heard the story. And then the alcoholic situation left. I went from Rocky Mountain spring water to living water. Hallelujah. And I haven't been thirsty since. 41 years. And so here we see, knowing, here's the key, that our old man, our old sinful nature was crucified, put to death. Thank you, Jesus. That we no longer are slaves to sin, it says in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Praise the Lord. Why would you want to go back? Why would you want to go back to the old days and the old ways? I hear Christians oftentimes laughing and joking about their past. You know what the Bible says? It's a fool that mocks at sin. Sin put Jesus on the cross. Sin cost Jesus his life. And it's not a joking matter. Verse 8 again. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Praise the Lord. We're going to live with him in heaven one day. Wow. And death no longer has dominion over us. We now have eternal life, never to die again. Man, can you imagine? And what is it that people face today?
Death.
I know you younger people going, man, I'm no problem with death. I'm just going to have fun. Don't blink. I remember as a kid growing up, people saying, oh, those are the golden years. And so I get up in my supposed golden years, and no, they're the titanium years. People are getting their joints replaced with titanium. Ain't nothing golden about it. So true, isn't it? But the good news is we're going to be absent one day from the body and present with the Lord. And what a glorious day that's going to be. We're going to live with him in heaven forever. And again, oftentimes I wonder, what's it going to be like when he calls me by name? And when he calls you by name, and he wraps his arms around you and says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. Death no longer has dominion over us. We now have eternal life, never to die again. Jesus died for sin once and for all. And the life he now lives, he lives to God, and so should we. The life we now live, we need to live for God. And we're to reckon ourselves, it says, as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The old man was not reformed. The old man didn't go through a program. The old man died, dead, morta, tetelestai, it is finished. Today they try to reform the old man. Programs and all of this other stuff. People want to go in and try to just get reformed. Jesus didn't die on that cross to reform you. Jesus Christ died on that cross to reborn you. You must be born again. That's not a suggestion. And then we walk as new men and new women in the newness of life. Praise the Lord. Second, not. Certainly not. Second not, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Wow. Again, another not. Do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body. Don't obey its lusts, he says. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. What's he talking about with members? Church members? No. Hands, eyes, ears, heart, feet. We're to avoid sin. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us with every temptation, God gives us a way of escape and we're to take the exit. Even if you have to run from sin like Joseph did. Sin shall not have dominion over you, praise the Lord. And God has given us the ability to keep sin from ruling and reigning and having dominion over our lives. We're free. How do we keep sin from controlling the way we live? Take the exit, run, split. Modern terminology. Also, recognize your weaknesses and fortify the walls in those areas. We know what our weaknesses are. And when there's weaknesses in a wall of a city, what do? They fortify those weak spots. And we need to do that in our heart. Find out what the weak spots in your spots are in your mind and in your heart and fortify those spots. Know what you're going to do before you're tempted there. Don't wait until you're tempted to make a decision. Why? Because Flip Wilson didn't get away with the devil made me do it. And neither will we. You did it. You made the choice. You exercised your free will. God gives us a free will and a free won't, and it's your choice. And we need to recognize our weaknesses and fortify the walls in those areas of our lives. Secondly, stay away from those sources of temptation. If you're weak in an area, don't go to a place where that stuff's going on. Stay away from those sources of temptation. And again, the person of the Holy Spirit in our hearts warns us before we get there. Don't go there. But I oftentimes hear people go, I got this. Oh, I got this one. Next thing I hear from their lips is, I got ripped off. I shouldn't have gone. Practice restraint. Strengthen those areas. Don't give in. Develop godly habits. How does that happen? One of them is right here. Not forsaking the gathering together of the saints. Church is so important. To come and get fed. To come and have fellowship. To come and get prayed for and love one another. And then we need to get into the Word of God. We need to pray. We need to not forsake the gathering together of the saints. Last but not least, we need to rely on God's Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Also, even as Jesus gave us in the model prayer, lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do you pray that prayer? I do all the time. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And lo and behold, he's faithful. When Paul says in verse 14, we're no longer under the law, this does not mean that we are free to sin. What this does is because of the new life and the new man and the new woman and the person of the Holy Spirit, we're now able to obey the law. And we make right choices, right decisions, and we walk in obedience to God. Verse 15 to 19 now, another not, certainly not. Do not allow sin to become master over you. Look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Oh, there it is again. Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that through you, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And so the illustration here is of the master and the servant. You got to serve somebody. You're either serving Satan or you're serving the Lord. You're either a slave to Satan or a slave to the Lord. And there's nothing greater than being a slave to the Lord, because Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the servant of all. To serve him and to be a slave and a bondservant for him is absolutely incredible. There are so many blessings that come with it. But here we see the master and the servant. It's pretty obvious and pretty clear what he's talking about here. Before you were saved, he says, you were enslaved to sin. And just think about it. We were enslaved by sin. We were in shackles. We were in bondage to our sin. I'm not going to lay out a list. You know where you were. You know what you went through. You'd be shocked to find out in this room some of the things that people have been set free from. The chains were broken. No longer in bondage. Free, now servants of the Lord, slaves of the Lord. Now that you're saved, you're freed from being a slave to sin. Praise the Lord. And again, when I first got saved, I began to notice things that had me in bondage, I was now free from. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In verse 19, we should now be as eager to be a slave of righteousness as we were to sin. Oh, that I would be as enthusiastic about being a slave to God as I was a slave to sin. Because there are a lot of people out there that are really, really enthusiastic about their sin. And they try to draw us in, don't they? Oh, come on. Don't be a wimp. Everybody's doing it. No, everybody's not doing it. It was an act of our own personal free will to present ourselves as slaves to unrighteousness. You did it. And how sad it is, today we blame things on being a disease, a deficit, a disorder. I did not have the disease of alcoholism. It was self-inflicted. I did it. I didn't walk by a liquor store and have an alcohol demon jump on me. No. I went right in, man. Loaded up. It's not a disease. It's a sin. It's self-inflicted. How sad it is that there are many programs today that say, oh, you just have a disease. And you have to stand up and say, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm a whatever. I stand up here this morning and say, hi, I'm Joe Coleman, and I'm a slave to Jesus Christ, and I'm set free from sin and death because of what Jesus Christ has done. Free. And there are many of you in this room this morning can say the same thing. We are free in Christ Jesus. There's no better place to be. So it's with our own free will, again, that we present ourselves either slaves to righteousness and holiness or slaves to sin. Sin will bind you, blind you, and make life a grind for you. That's what it does. It's impossible to be neutral as well. You can't straddle the fence because everyone has a master. Everyone is a slave. Your master is either God or your master is sin. God makes it very clear. Some may think, oh, this is pretty harsh here this morning, Pastor Joe. No, I'm grateful that God tells us straight up. Thank you, Lord, for the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. And it's so wonderful to be free, isn't it? Even though we're slaves to God, we've never been so free. And so the fourth not here this morning, you should certainly not continue in sin, as it will end up in disaster. Look at verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. I repeat, for the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. In the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's pretty interesting, to say the least. It's quite interesting that oftentimes we never look at sin this way. When we were slaves of sin, we were free from righteousness. When we had the fruits of sin, we didn't have the fruits of righteousness. And what are the fruits of righteousness? Galatians 5 tells us. Love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, meekness, all these self-control, all these wonderful fruits that come with knowing God and being a slave to God. But the fruit that comes with sin is rotten fruit. It's detestable. It's fake. I remember as a kid growing up on the coffee table, we had fake fruit. Any of you ever had that? Fake fruit? Wax or plastic, whatever it was. Fake fuzz on the peaches and all that stuff. Yeah, it was fake. Take a bite of it, you break a tooth. But the good news is we now get to enjoy the luscious fruit, the juicy fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's so wonderful now that we're set free from being slaves of sin. We were in such a dark condition, we see here. We were bound by every evil and free from the things that were good. That's what Paul's saying to us here. We couldn't enjoy those things that are really, really good in life. Also in verse 21 again, in a way that we never really looked at our lives. Check it out. What fruit did you have then, the things which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And we should really be ashamed of the things that used to hold us captive, that we were slaves to, and not laugh or joke or boast about it. Yes, oftentimes I share my testimony, but not in a joking or a boasting way. Oftentimes we can come alongside someone that's struggling with the same things that we did. We can come alongside them and encourage them and say, you know what, I've been there, and here's how I got set free. Jesus Christ, the lover of my soul, set me free. And so it's so important to realize and recognize it's not a joking matter. What fruit did we have? None. Things that we are now ashamed of. Praise be to God for shame. Thank you, Lord. What we used to do to these bodies that are now a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? We used to abuse this temple with all the junk we put in it. We had perverted affections. We thought that lust was love. But then when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you understand now what love truly is, agape love, love from above, and it only comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how God changes our love life. Also, we squandered time in our lives. I wasted 33 years, the first 33 years of my life, squandering my life because I was selfish. It was all about me, just like the world's philosophy today. And how sad it is, the things that we think are really important in life and things that are really fun in life, time squandered, wasted, thrown away. Not only that, you couldn't really have any true, real friends. Oh, they were your buddies as long as you had whatever it was that you were into. But then all of a sudden, where are they today? It's amazing, when I got saved, where'd all my friends go? I didn't even say a word. Word traveled. Look out for him now. I walked in to get my hair cut when I did have hair. And my sister was the one that cut my hair. And she just looked at me and said, wow, what happened to you? Something happened in your life. What is it? I said, Jesus. Amazing. And you've heard me say many times, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. Because our light should shine. Not only that, we're to be salt as well. We're to create a thirst in lost people out there. And one of my best friends was my own brother. You've heard that story. He looked me square in the eye and said, I lost my best friend today, and he walked away because we were no longer held together by the drugs and alcohol and all the other junk we were doing. Prayed for him for 27 years. You know the story. He said, I didn't want to call you, text you, email you. I wanted to tell you in person. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. We both stood there and wept on the second hole at the Oasis Country Club. Like this. People behind us, come on, come on, come on. Will you putt? Get this over, you know? We didn't care. It was a glorious moment, and now my brother's walking with the Lord today. What do these things also bring? Shame. Shame. Just to name a few things. And the end of these things is death. The end result. What we do to our bodies, abusing them, and our perverted affections, and squandering time, and who you hang out with, and all this shame. The end is death, the Bible says. The wages of sin. So why? Why would a believer want to go back and do those things? Hello? You know? That's why Paul says, certainly not. Don't go back and do those old things. Crucify the old man. Deny yourself daily, the Bible says, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Death to the old nature, the old self. And that's the best thing that can happen, is get rid of the old man. Herein lies the good news, verses 22 and 23. But now, having been set free, thank you, Lord, from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, but now. Those are two awesome words. I love those two words. But now. We are now free from sin. Completely set free. We are now, again, so free. Why would you want to return and go back to the old ways? The end is death. Why would you want to continue? We are now servants of God, slaves to God. We now have fruit to holiness. Praise the Lord. We have everlasting life forever and ever and ever. And so it's your choice. As we close, is it sin or is it God? Is it wages or is it the gift? Salvation's a free gift. You can't earn it. We're to receive it. And a gift is not a gift unless it's received. I could have the keys to a brand new car here for you. But if you don't receive them, you don't receive the gift. God has his Son, Jesus Christ, right here this morning for you, and it's up to you whether you receive that gift or not. Is it death or is it eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord? The price is paid. Again, the gift is not earned. It can't be purchased. It's accepted by gratitude and freely given to us by God Almighty. And as we close, as I usually like to do, is to give an invitation. If God has spoken to you here this morning and you would like to receive the gift of forgiveness of sin, a new heart, a new life, a new home in heaven one day, and to be free from the shackles that bind you, and to have a new life and a new home in heaven, and even experience all things becoming new here on earth, I'd like you to just stand quickly and do what Paul says in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. As we close, if anyone here would like to receive Jesus, I'd like you to stand quickly. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, I so thank you for this chapter this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you again remind us not to go back and resurrect the old man. We cannot continue in sin that grace may abound. Certainly not. And Lord, we are to be dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. And what a miracle that is, that we are spiritually alive. So thank you, Lord, for this chapter. And I love it, Lord, because it not only convicts me, but it gets me back on track. It reminds me of the incredible price that you paid for me and for the whole world. But it's up to us to walk in obedience, to not allow the world to have a grip on us, not to allow the old man to make a comeback. But help us, Lord, would you please, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in the newness of life as we are on our way home, another day closer to home. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for everybody here this morning. Just bless the lives of everyone here, Lord. Thank you for the good news that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.